Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, Text 38. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Atta Jagama Bhagavan Narada Sahatam Buru Pratyuttaya Bivajaha Sanujo Bhyar Chayan Munim. While Sanjaya was thus speaking, Sri Narada, the powerful devotee of the Lord, appeared on the scene carrying his tumburu. Maharaj Yudhisthira and his brothers received him properly by getting up from their seats and offering obeisances. Purport. Devarshi Narada is described here as Bhagavan due to his being the most confidential devotee of the Lord. The Lord and his very confidential devotees are treated on the same level by those who are actually engaged in the loving service of the Lord. Such confidential devotees of the Lord are very much dear to the Lord because they travel everywhere to preach the glories of the Lord in different capacities and try their utmost to convert the non-devotees of the Lord into devotees in order to bring them to the platform of sanity. Actually, a living being cannot be a non-devotee of the Lord because of his constitutional position. When one becomes a non-devotee or non-believer, it is to be understood that the person is not in a sound condition of life. The confidential devotees of the Lord treat such illusioned living beings, and therefore they are most pleasing in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita that no one is dearer to him than one who actually preaches the glories of the Lord to convert the non-believers and non-devotees. Such personalities as Narada must be offered all due respects, like those offered to the personality of Godhead himself. Maharaj Yudhisthira, along with his noble brothers, were examples for others in receiving a pure devotee of the Lord like Narada, who had no business save and except singing the glories of the Lord along with his veena, a musical stringed instrument. Om Gyanatimanandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kalpa Taru Bhyascha Vipasindu Baye Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. While Sanjaya was thus speaking. So we remember the scene here that by the powerful preaching of Vidura, Dhritarashtra became cheerfully renounced. He was preaching to him that time is coming and taking everything away and leading, deteriorating your body and causing death and everyone, and it's moving and you're not seeing. You're just thinking this reality of your family. Live happily ever after. You're not seeing it. And that's what the sadhu is supposed to do. He's supposed to make someone see reality. The reality means reality means Krishna and Krishna's will, and to reveal to us the way in which we're reacting to it in the improper way. how we're not living by Krishna's will, how we're not living by a vision of the truth. First you have to have a vision of the truth, and then you have to see how you're acting according to the truth. An intelligent person, when he sees a vision of the truth, then he'll want to live by the truth, and he'll reevaluate his own activities in life and adjust accordingly. And that's the truth. The truth is we're not going to live happily ever after. The truth is that Krishna, in the form of the time factor, is going to take away everything we have. And we can't foolishly make a permanent situation in this world. That we have to make a situation in this world so that we can become enlightened. And if to become enlightened, we need to get married, we need to have the association of the opposite sex, we need to have a fairly decent place to live, fine. But for the higher endeavor of self-realization, with the true vision, with the true perspective, that the sadhu helps one to see. Otherwise, the grihastha ashram is called the deep well, andakupa. You enter into it, you don't see. There's a big hole there, and it's just covered by straw, and you're walking along. Yes, this is fine. But then you can enter deep into it. You can't get out. You can't get out. You can't see the vision. You can't see reality. And that's why, look at Vidura, Dhritarashtra's just living in the house and he doesn't see reality. He's thinking that this is real. This is permanent. He's not seeing the truth. I do like Sahotra Swami's. It's a good example of levels of observation. The sadhu has to increase your level of observation. So what you see, the reality, that what you see here today is gone tomorrow. And therefore you have to act in that way. Rather than create a household environment where you almost think it's like the spiritual world or something. This is eternal. Like in the spiritual world, you have a house, and it's going to be here now, it's going to be there tomorrow, it's going to be there eternally, and the relatives are going to be there. It's real, it's the vastu, it's the substance of reality. But we don't see, we take these bodies as the self rather than just a transformation of matter with the eternal spirit souls inside. So that the whole destiny and the whole material nature is moving to have us understand this reality and to situate ourselves properly for the higher endeavor of self-realization. So Vidura is very powerful instructions, and then he says, it's Kali Yuga is coming. Now I'm here and you remember my instructions, but when I go and Kali Yuga comes, you're just going to forget my instructions. So not only I am leaving, but Kali Yuga is entering, and therefore go immediately, get out. You're living. Just see the psychology of the sadhu also. Whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Alas, how powerful are the hopes of a living being to continue his life. Verily, you are living just like a household dog and eating the remnants of food given by Bhima. Borijan gave the example of, I told you, of the Western, with someone acting really crazy, and then his friend goes like this. He grabs him by the collar with his left hand and then goes whack, and then with the back of his hand, whack, 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 whack. And the guy's head spins back and forth. And then he checks his jaw. Sometimes they punch him too. His friend just punches him right in the jaw. I have to do that sometimes with James. He goes, I needed that. Sometimes. Softly. So then, by this powerful preaching, the powerful preaching, he was awakened to knowledge, and then immediately he left. This is called Dhira. sober. The situation I'm in now, it's not proper. It's maya, it's illusion. If it's, you know, if you can stay in household life and, you know, it's grihastha, you're situated there for the higher endeavor of self-realization, then fine. Get out. And he immediately left. And then we saw that Yudhisthira was so aggrieved. You know, he was so aggrieved. And Sanjaya was just shocked. I was a servant his whole life. He's cheated me. He has not reciprocated. I was serving his needs. I was caring for him. Without my consultation, he's immediately left. He's cheated me. So they're in this concept. I am, and Yudhisthira, I was protecting him. He was dependent on me. Without me, he will die. I'm caring for him. My little child, without me, the child will die. That's the one's thinking like that. I am the protector. I am the maintainer. So here it is. Although Yudhisthira was in a very exalted consciousness, he was also getting an illusion. I am the protector. I am the maintainer. If I don't feed him, he will die. If I don't take care of him, he will die. And Aunt Gandhari. So while Sanjaya was speaking, they have cheated me. Then while he was speaking, Narada came. Because why Narada came? With Vidura gone, who will save them? Who will save them with Vidura gone? So here he comes, and they're going to respect him, and they're going to, he's addressed. Well, Sutta Goswami, who's describing this, he describes him as Bhagavan, because the devotee is so powerful. He has the power of God. Nara da. Da means what? To give. And Nara? Human. He gives to the humans. He nourishes them. He gives. He nourishes them with devotional service. So the powerful, he comes, and then Prabhupada discusses these confidential devotees. They're dear. Because they travel everywhere to enlighten the conditioned souls. When you love someone, then you follow their desires. That's what love means. That's what a relationship means. If you have a relationship with someone, you try to satisfy their desires. Otherwise, there's no relationship. There's no friends. There's no lovers. There's no mother and child. If the mother does not try to satisfy the desires of the child, then she's not, you know, a mother. Of course, not, you know, desires that can benefit him, but the mother, how? What do you want, child? What do you want, child? And if the child doesn't try to satisfy the desires of the parent, they're not a parent. They're not a child. They're not a real son. So this is relationship. So our relationship with Krishna is we try to follow his desires. We try to satisfy his desires. And his desires in this material world is to enlighten the conditioned soul, because it is the only purpose of the material world. As Sahotra Swami was speaking, it's a moral purpose. It's a moral order. So therefore, if we love God, then we have to do his service. And this is his confidential service here, to enlighten the conditioned soul. So when someone does that, he's very, very glorious. And this is what Narada is doing. It's just some interesting, and therefore he's received properly by Yudhisthira. And Prabhupada made an interesting point. He said, they bring him to the platform of sanity. Sanity means our normal condition. The normal condition is we are a devotee. And even if we forget we're a devotee, we're still devotees, because that's what we are. We're parts and parcels of Krishna. So a sadhu is one who brings one to sanity. and he's most dear, and he must be offered all respects. Yudhisthira uvacha naham veda katim pitrur bhagavan kva katavita ambaba hataputrata kva katachatapasvani. Maharaj Yudhisthira said, O godly personality, I do not know where my two uncles have gone, nor can I find my ascetic aunt who is grief-stricken by the loss of her son. So, Maharaj Yudhisthira is a good soul and devotee of the Lord, was always conscious of the great loss of his aunt and her sufferings as an ascetic. She suffered so many of her children. He was always conscious of the suffering of others. Paradukaduki. This is the Vaishnava suffering, and we see that in Maharaj Yudhisthira. Vairagya yug bhakti rasam payat nai apayam mam anubipsam andam kripam budhir ya paradukaduki sanatanastam prabham asrayami. Paradukad kripam budhir. Vaishnava is an ocean of mercy. He has no suffering, but paradukaduki. He suffers for those who suffer. Kanadara iva pare bhagavan paradarshaka atava bhase bhagavan narada muni sattama. You are like a captain of a ship in a great ocean, and you can direct us to our destination. Thus address the godly personality, Devarshi Narad, greatest of the philosopher devotees, began to speak. So, greatest of the devotees are the greatest philosophers because they have complete knowledge. Knowledge means to make things distinct. So the grossest platform of knowledge is that, well, there's two gross platforms of knowledge. One is to see everything as matter. You know, you don't see the soul, you don't see God, all you see is matter and bodies. Everything is matter. Then there's an higher than that is you see different than the matter is that there's spirit. So you're a little bit, Jnani is a little more. But the Vaishnava, he makes a further distinction that the spirit has distinctions. Krishna and Krishna's energies. The matter, spirit, and the controller of both. So the devotee is the greatest philosopher, and of the devotees, Muni Sattama, the greatest among the devotee philosophers is Narada Muni. And therefore, Yudhisthira, who is in complete anxiety, wants him to guide him of the ocean of anxiety he's fell into. You can see, too, you know, Yudhisthira, he's so soft-hearted, but how soft-hearted people suffer in this cruel world. You know, they're sensitive. But at the same time, if that soft-heartedness as a Vaishnava is not supported by a sense of knowledge or understanding, then it's condemned. Just like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. He's glorified as being soft-hearted, he's condemned as being soft-hearted. It's not a contradiction. He's glorified for being soft-hearted, but he's condemned because there's not the right knowledge and understanding behind it. So he's glorified for his heart, he's condemned for his conceptions or intellect. So both are needed there for a devotee. He has to have a soft heart, and he has to have the proper knowledge. Now Narada's instructions will begin.
Narada uvacha makanchana sucho rajan yarishvara visham jagat lokasapala yasyemi vahanti balamishatu sasamyunakti bhutani seva viyunakti cha.
Sinarda said, O pious king, do not lament for anyone, for everyone is under the control of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, all living beings and their leaders carry on worship to be well protected. It is he only who brings them together and disperses them. So actually, the question they asked is, where did he go? You know, where did Sanjaya and Yudhisthira, where is Dhritarashtra gone? Where is my aunt gone? But he doesn't answer them first. First he has to give them some philosophy to prepare them. So you can see there's a sense of tact. You know, it's not just that the highest thing is just right in your face, the truth and the fact. Some preparation there, some philosophy so that they can handle it. We can see how in tune the sadhu is to people's psychology and understanding. Again, the concept is that the sadhu is not just speaking the truth, he's having the truth understood. And sometimes to have what he wants understood, he has to give some preparation and background. So he preaches detachment. And what he's dealing here in these verses is he's going to deal with Yudhisthira's illusion. Previously, Vidura dealt with Dhritarashtra's illusion. Dhritarashtra's illusion is that I'm dependent on Yudhisthira, I'm dependent on them. You know, without them I cannot live. Not and therefore he accepted with that misconception, he accepted a very degrading and difficult situation to advance spiritually, thinking that without them I could not live, without them I am dependent on them. We're dependent on the Supreme Lord. But the other kind of misconception here is that Yudhisthira, in offering compassion and care, then he now shows that he's an illusion. At least Krishna's putting him in illusion. Because he's lamenting Asochanan Vasochas Twam Pragyavadam Stribashase Gatasun Agatasun Nanu Sochanti Pandita. While speaking learned words, you're not learned. The wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. Of course, we have to understand that it doesn't mean that a person is not compassionate. But again, the compassion is with knowledge. We're not lamenting that someone is dying. That's inevitable. We're lamenting that he identifies with the body and therefore suffers death. We don't lament for what is inevitable, that someone is dying. That's not lamentable. What's lamentable is he experiences it due to his ignorance. So Yudhisthira is in this conception that everyone is dependent on me. That's another illusion in the household life. You know, the joint family, the grandfather's there, and the sons are there, and everyone's there, and they're dependent on me. And in one sense, that's a more difficult attachment to overcome than the attachment that I'm dependent on someone else. You can see, it's a relationship with your parents, which is a greater attachment. That I am dependent on them or they are dependent on you. So here, do not lament. Do not lament they're gone, because everyone is dependent on Krishna. And Krishna is the maintainer and protector. That's our personal faith, and that's the faith for others. We just have to be concerned with doing our duty. If you do your duty, Krishna is the maintainer and protector. We're not the maintainer and protector. We act in that illusion. And that illusion carries us from our duty. And therefore we sometimes over-endeavor. You know, we'll have to keep two jobs because I'm maintaining myself. Or I'll have to move here, I'll have to do this. Rather than trying to be calmly, seeing what my destiny is, seeing what Krishna's will is, what is my duty to advance in Krishna consciousness, which includes working for my maintenance in some way, and what is my duty, and then depending on Krishna. And that's what faith is. That's what surrender is. A surrendered devotee experiences that by following Krishna's will, Krishna is the maintainer and protector. And if you don't have that faith, then instead of surrendering to Krishna's will, you'll have to make all kinds of independent adjustments. In other words, it's someone's duty to maintain himself. That's part of his duty. You should think carefully. How should I do this? Then he does his duty. But he doesn't think that he's maintaining himself. He thinks he's doing his duty. And Krishna's maintaining himself. And therefore he surrenders to his duty. So Yudhisthira is getting a little bit sidetracked on both counts. One, Dhritarashtra is doing his duty. He's leaving this place of intrigue and humiliation. And he's old and he's going for self-realization. Why are you worried? Krishna is the maintainer and protector. And at the same time, why are you worried that he won't be protected? And what are you in anxiety for? Just do your, what is your duty at this particular point, Yudhisthira? Is it to run out into the forest? Is it to go find him? Do you actually have to be there to maintain him? Is that really your position? So I think we're honing in here on a really key philosophical point. I wish I had more time to conceptualize and express it, but I know that one of the six principles of surrender, one is Krishna is the maintainer, Krishna is the protector. And what it means is it's the symptom of surrender that you realize that. And therefore you don't act any way independently of Krishna's will, thinking that I'm the maintainer and I'm the surrender. In other words, I'll give you an example. You know, sometimes there's a situation we have to be put in by Krishna's will, and we're worried, how will we maintain ourselves? But we're not the maintainer. Krishna is the maintainer. So therefore, we deviate from our duty sometimes in this illusion that I'm the maintainer and protector. We may make an independent effort, and Krishna can give nothing. We may do our duty, which doesn't seem like an extraneous effort, and money comes. Just like we see some devotees. Some people work real hard and they have nothing. And some people don't work hard at all and they have everything. It's all whatever, but both are maintained by Krishna. We've never actually seen a devotee in the Krishna consciousness movement who didn't have shelter and didn't have food. We don't have any examples of that in any circumstances. But yet sometimes we think, where will this come? And who will maintain me? And who? So this whole illusion, it's still the basic conception of lack of faith in Krishna. So Narada Muni therefore is saying, it is he only who brings them together and disperses them. It is he only, it's Krishna who's controlling everyone, not you. And therefore all living beings and their leaders, both the leaders and the subordinates, should worship him to be protected. Both Dhritarashtra and both Yudhisthira. And then Prabhupada in the purport, which I hope people read, no one is the protector. All our servants. So Prabhupada lists the big protectors. Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Maharaj, Yudhisthira, Napoleon, Akbar, Alexander, Gandhi, Subhash, Nehru. They're all servants of the Lord. And they are all placed in and removed from their respective positions by the supreme will. None of them is independent. Even though such men or leaders rebel so as not to recognize the supremacy of the Lord, they are all put under still more rigorous laws of the material. So you have to follow the Lord's laws. And when you rebel against them, I don't want to follow them, you get put under more strict laws. I don't want to, you know, follow the state. Right? I don't want to follow the state. Then you get put in prison. You're more restricted. So you cannot disobey the Supreme Lord. You cannot not follow him. But you should just follow him willingly. Because if you don't, then it's more strict. There was a quote by Bob Dylan, something like, I'm not an expert in that, but you know, you got to be honest to stay outside the law. Something, you got to be honest to stay outside the law, something like that. Ordinarily, one cannot change the course of one's due happiness and distress by plan. Everyone has to accept them as they come under the subtle arrangements of kala or invincible time. There is no use trying to counteract them. The best thing, therefore, is that one should endeavor to achieve salvation, and this prerogative is given only to man because of his developed condition of mental activities and intelligence. So this is the way Supreme Lord controls everyone. This preaching by these great souls is like, it's our life. Because you can see the impact of the material nature on us is always to constantly put us in illusion that there's no God, that it's all me, that everything's separate from him, and I'm the controller, and things are going beyond my control, and therefore I'm in anxiety. And we forget that, no, God is there. And then when we surrender to him and just do what he wants, we see that he is there, and we experience that he's there. But if we rebel and try to be the controllers and enjoyers, he keeps us in that illusion. And then we think that it's us that are maintaining ourselves and us that are controlling everything. And therefore we're in constant anxiety that is dependent on me, but it's moving beyond my control. And where will I get food? And where will I get health insurance? And where will I get this? And how will I live? And who will protect my children? And what if the war comes? Always an anxiety. But one who surrenders to Krishna, he gets that experience. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dhanaprana. Krishna is the mother. Krishna is the father. He's protecting me. And such a person, even when death comes, he's not thinking, what will I do now? He'll think, Krishna is protecting me. It's his will. So it's so interesting, isn't it? How the sadhus come in. Vidura goes, liberates Dhritarashtra, then Dhritarashtra goes out. Vidura also leaves. Then Yudhisthira, now he's in anxiety. And then Narada comes to give the man, nourish his soul.
Itagavo nasi protas tantyam varas chadamabi bhaktantyam namabi badva bahanti balamishatu.
As a cow bound through the nose by a long rope is conditioned, so also human beings are bound by different Vedic injunctions and are conditioned to obey the orders of the Supreme Lord. So this is what he's saying to Yudhisthira. You're not controller and protector. Just do your duty. Don't get entangled in trying for happiness and distress, because the human beings is bound by the laws of God. You have to follow him because we're part and parcel of him. We're meant for his service. That's our constitutional position. You just obey. You're controlled. Don't lament your inevitable fate. Destiny is moving. Just follow God's laws. But this is the same instructions that were given to Bhishma Dev. Don't try to control your destiny. The destiny is inevitable. And it's coming by God. Don't try to control it and act independently of it. You're bound. You can't. You're bound. You're bound by the laws of God. And if you follow them, again, the same example, you're bound even, if you disobey them, you're even more. Just follow God's laws. Just do your duty. Don't worry about the other things. Everything is controlled by God. He's the protector. Prabhupada said every living being, whether a man or an animal or bird, thinks that he is free by himself. But actually no one is free from the severe laws of the Lord. The laws of the Lord are severe because they cannot be disobeyed in any circumstance. The man-made laws may be evaded by cunning outlaws, but in the codes of the Supreme Lawmaker, there is not the slightest possibility of neglecting the laws. A slight change in the course of a God-made law can bring about a massive danger to be faced by the lawbreaker. Such laws of the Supreme... See, we don't see. We're under God's law. So sometimes when God's not looking, we don't follow what he's supposed to do. We take some chocolate. I wish that was the worst of it. You know, we follow, like, we can get away with it. But if we break God's law, there's a reaction. We're conditioned, just like it says, they're conditioned to obey the orders of the Lord. Like a cow is bound by the rope. He can only go so far. He's bound. In the same way, we're bound. We can only go so far. We have to follow his order. And we're conditioned to follow his order because that's our constitutional position. That's our eternal nature. And only that position of serving God and obeying him out of love and devotion will actually give us satisfaction. Therefore, the distress in the material world, because God doesn't want us to stay in a position which we cannot be happy by our own constitution. He doesn't want us to stay in a position of being Donald Trump and having billions of dollars, whatever women we want, whatever power we want. It's a miserable position because it's not nourishing the soul. It's like keeping someone as the richest person in the world but never giving him any food. How can he be happy? So the food, Prabhupada in the previous verses defines dharma as that which sustains our existence. So the laws of God, service to God, sustain our existence. It's our food. We cannot live without service to God. So he doesn't want us to stay in a condition of illusion where the controller, where they enjoy it, but without food. So he disperses this by time. He changed these situations. It's all destiny is moving all to impact our consciousness, to bring us to our sense and to get us to accept that we're Krishna's servants. In other words, unless you accept the position, your natural position, you can never be happy. Like a fish, if it's out of water, it can never be happy. Somehow you have to get him back to the water. If he wants to be independent out of the water, he can't because he's a fish. By constitution, we're God's servants. So unless we're serving him, we'll never be happy. So when we don't have that desire, we'll never be happy. So destiny is meant to change that desire by giving us the appropriate suffering for acting independent from him and rewarding us for moving towards him. And Prabhupada also talks how we're bound by namabhi buddhi. We're bound by different names. We're designated. To become a devotee, you have to be free from designations, because designations force you to act for your sense gratification. For example, I'm an American. So if you act as an American, you're acting separate as a servant of Krishna. I'm a Muslim. I'm a Hindu. I'm a man. I'm a woman. I'm this nationality. I'm that nationality. So that it's very interesting. It's namabhi buddha. You're conditioned or bound by the identification with the name that you have. That's one of the things of initiation, changing the name, because the name is so much connected with the material conditioning. It's one of the part of the samskaras, that you have an identity in relationship to Krishna. So this is it, you're bound. Unless you surrender, you're bound. Yata krido paskaranam samyoga vigama viha ichaya kridatu syatam tatai veshe chayaninam. Narada's sweet instructions continue. As a player sets up and disperses his playthings according to his own sweet will, so the supreme will of the Lord brings men together and separates them. You're the protector, you're the controller. You are playing with Dhritarashtra. He is dependent on me. He is the king, he is dependent on me. He was the king. I'm taking care of this blind old man. Dispersed. We are not under the control, but we're completely under the will of karma. Karma. Completely. By our destiny, by our past actions, it's moving. We can't control it. We can't change it. And now by your karma, Krishna, and by Dhritarashtra's karma, Dhritarashtra's karma now is for liberation. And your karma is that he's going. And your karma is that you're suffering because you're attached, because you're on the bodily platform. And these impulses and anxieties you have are just to act in Maya, separate from Krishna. Of course, the heart is okay, but the intelligence should be fixed. We'll see that later. That when Vidura sees that Dhritarashtra burns up his body, even though he's the greatest philosopher, he begins to lament. But it's okay from the heart to have feeling. You can have both. Consciousness in the head should be proper, and the heart should also be proper. So we proper in the purple. We know for certain that the particular position in which we are now set up by the arrangement of the supreme will in terms of our acts in the past, the Supreme Lord is present as the localized Paramatma in the heart of every living being, as it is said in Bhagavad Gita 13:23. And therefore, he knows everything of our activities in every stage of our lives. He rewards the reactions of our actions by placing us in some particular place. A rich man gets his son born with a silver spoon in his mouth, but the child who came as the rich man's son deserves such a place. And therefore he is placed there by the will of the Lord. And at a particular moment, when the child has to be removed from that place, he is carried by the will of the Supreme, even if the child or the father does not wish to be separated from the happy relation. The same thing happens in the case of a poor man. Neither rich man nor poor man has any control over such meetings or separations of living beings. The example of a player and his plaything should not be misunderstood. Okay, now the next point. So we're just bound. Destiny's coming. Just react in the proper way by doing your duty, doing what's right, finding out what's your dharma. Understanding that we don't have to act for our maintenance and protection beyond what our duty is. Part of our duty is to work for our maintenance and protection, but according to our duty. Of course, not everyone can act on such a high platform. Only the Brahmins have full faith. Brahmins have full faith, and therefore they can just depend on Krishna. Kshatriyas, they need some territory, some land, otherwise they don't have faith. Vaishyas, they need some opulence. They need to cheat. Their faith is like, they have to cheat. You know, they have to make profit. It's allowed. And Sudras, they just need a master. Now I am secure, I have my government job. I can never understand that in India. You sell your life away for 35 years, but you're happy because now you're secure. It's a sudra. The sudra. The Prabhupada said it's not an exact example because it's not just bound. You can change it by surrendering to Krishna. Generally, law of karma is that One is awarded the results of one's action, but in special cases, the will of the Lord, by the will of the Lord, such resultant actions are changed also. But this change can be effected by the will of the Lord only, and no other. So this is probably a very nice purport. Very rich, how with pure devotees, they can change. There are hundreds of examples of reactions changed by the Lord in the history of the world. Hundreds. The Lord is able to change the reactions of one's past deeds, and certainly is not himself bound by any actions of the Lord. Generally, he doesn't change it. Because if we look at it, our karma is meant to purify us of some attachment, of some greed, of some insensitivity. So just because we become a devotee, it doesn't mean that those things don't have to be purified. So generally, Krishna will say, he surrendered to me.
Only an illusion.
Okay, what was I just saying? What was the last point?
Astrology can be applicable to devotees.
Yeah, so we can see that we do have a certain destiny. But it can be changed because the destiny is meant for our purification. So if you're chanting and hearing about Krishna and that purification is going on internally by that process, then Krishna will reduce it. But a lot of times the way he'll reduce it is by our perspective and observation of it rather than necessarily what happens. Like even I'm seeing this girl, Lady Nirmala, who unfortunately has cancer. But her consciousness, she has something from whatever service she did that she's just not at the level of anxiety that a materialist would be. So there's something there. Or we have, the example of Bhuvaneshwar and Vrindavan. This seems like that deformity, kind of. But you can see that the standard of you expect a person like that not to be so respected, because he's a little bit hunchbacked and things. But because he's a devotee, the standard becomes devotional service. So you can see the devotional service counteracts the kind of karma he had supposedly due to the body. It's counteracted because it becomes irrelevant to his life and activities.
Under the dominion of my elders and superiors, Jatila enters. Great trickster, you have made all the young girls of Gokula fall from the path of religion. Only the young bride of my saintly son has escaped your clutches. Spare us from having even once to say your name. Taking Radha and the other two girls.
Scene 1. Vrinda enters. Vrinda looking at the sky. Night's husband, the moon, has become dim and now desires to rest on the western horizon. The planet Jupiter has faded and his friends, the stars, are becoming faint and are beginning to disappear.
Text 44. Yanmanyase dhruvam lokam madhruvam vanacho bayam sarvatana hi sochaste sneharanyatra mohajat.
O king, in all circumstances, whether you consider the soul to be an eternal principle, or the material body to be perishable, or everything to exist in the impersonal absolute truth, or everything to be an inexplicable combination of matter and spirit, feeling of separation are only due to illusory affection and nothing more. So Narada continues his instructions to pacify the distress and anxiety of Yudhisthira. Anxiety and fear, despondency, is caused by illusion. Again, Sahotra Swami gave that nice example that you see a gray substance like a fine gray powder. And then when you look at a microscope, you see actually it's very small particles of white grains and black grains. The gray actually didn't exist. It's due to your insufficient level of observation that you perceived it in that way. So it's like that. Our fear, our anxiety, our illusion is due to our insufficient level of observation, where we see things as separate from Krishna. And therefore we become fearful. That's called Maya, not this. Actually, our fear, our illusion, our anxiety, our despondency is just a insufficient level of observation. So when that level of observation is increased by the instructions of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and you can see things as they are, then there's no cause for distress or despondency. Because the reality is that everything is Krishna, and Krishna's energy, which eternally exists, including the living entity. So this is the real process of becoming free from lamentation. Become free from lamentation. So his instructions continue. The previous verse I was explaining, that Yudhisthira's thinking, I'm the protector, and now they're separated from me. But he's explaining, Krishna is just controlling everything. He's the protector, he's the maintainer. And here he's giving some further instructions of how in all philosophies there's no need to lament the separation of one material body from the other, or death. There's no need to lament. You're lamenting, what will happen to Yudhisthira's lamenting, Sanjaya's lamenting, what will happen to Dhritarashtra, what will happen to Yudhisthira? They may even die. But as stated in Bhagavad Gita, that's a famous verse, right in the beginning. Asochananvasochastvam pragyavadams chabashase. Pragyavadams chabashase. The basya, the purport, the speaking, the instructions of pragya, those who know. Asochananvasochastvam pragyavadams chabashase. Katasun, agatasun cha, nana sochanti pandita. That the pandit, although Arjuna, you are giving basya, you are giving the purport, like you're a very learned man. Nasochanti pandita. You're not thinking as a pandit. You're speaking learned words, but you're not thinking as a pandit. Because the pandit, the wise man, he laments neither for the living nor the dead. And this verse is very similar. What's the need for the lamentation? We are the soul. The anxiety of death is just caused by the illusion that we are the body. But the soul doesn't actually die. There's no death for the soul. So what is the need for lamenting? And any Prabhupada mentioned the purport is admitted, however, by all schools of philosophy that the living being is eternal and that the covering body of the five material elements is perishable and temporary. All schools of thought. This is, in Bhagavad Gita it says, Neha bhikkhamanasho sti pratyavayo navidyate swopam apyasya dharmasya trayate matobhaya. That having this knowledge of Krishna consciousness saves you from the greatest type of fear. And what's the greatest type of fear? That we will become non-existent. I specifically remember this personally, how this was such an anxiety, the fear of death, and that it would create duality in any enjoyment that I would have. I remember when I was 5 years old, and I was standing on Cropsey Avenue, and I was thinking, what will happen when I get older? And I was somehow I was looking forward what I would do, but I kept on going, and I came to death, and as a young I became very, very frightened, because that's the future. On the material platform, the future is death. If we stay on the material platform, we're doomed. That's the future. And the future of the spiritual platform is eternity, knowledge, and bliss. So the sadhu tries to get one off of the material or bodily or mental platform, because it's such an anxiety on that platform. It's an anxiety because things on that platform are completely beyond your control. All your attachments are taken away by eternal time. Everything is moving and changing beyond your control to enjoy, to control. There's always a source of anxiety. So the sadhu tries to bring one to the platform, the spiritual platform, which is serving Krishna. The nature of the living force and immortality, which is serving Krishna. And if we stay on that platform of devotional service, then we lose our fear of death, because that's real. That's permanent. Service to Krishna is permanent, because that's what you are. That goes beyond the body. If you act as a controller, that's going to end with the body. If you act as a servant, that goes on forever. See, he's giving these very wonderful instructions. And here, there's no need to lament. The soul is eternal. All philosophies say that. So this is the argument. Whatever you believe, don't lament. And even if you're a materialist, don't lament. Because why should you lament death if you're a materialist? It's just a transformation of matter. Nothing really changes. There's, you know, earth, water, fire, air, ether. If that's all that exists, at death, all those things still exist as the conservation of energy. They just exist in a different form. So even if you're a materialist, why lament? So this is, he's giving this gyan. Yudhisthira is sitting there listening, so fortunate to hear the instructions of Narada Muni.
Tasmajta yanga vaiklavyam agyana krittam atmana katam tvanata kripana vartaram ste chamam vina.
Therefore, give up your anxiety due to ignorance of the self. The previous verse, therefore, give up your anxiety. Why? Due to ignorance of the self. See, we have so many aspirations which we can't achieve and attain. But if we have the aspiration of the self, immediately we can attain it. Immediately we can achieve the highest perfection. If you want to be the servant of Krishna, which is the highest, most pleasurable position, it's so pleasurable that God himself, to be complete in his pleasure, has to take the form of a devotee in terms of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You want that position, it's immediately available wherever you are, whether you're in prison, whether you're poor. The free will to serve Krishna is always there. But to control destiny, it's going to move to enlighten you, no matter what you do. And if to enlighten you, it's to give you $1 million, the money will come. To enlighten you, if it's to take it away, it will come. So give up your anxiety due to ignorance of the self. You are now thinking how they, who are helpless, poor creatures, will exist without you. So give up this upadhi, this material designation, I am the protector. You're not the protector. Krishna is the protector. We think Prabhupada said, of our kith and kin as being helpless and depending on us. It is all due to ignorance. Every living creature is allowed all protection by the order of the Supreme Lord in terms of one's acquired position in the world. The Lord is known as Bhutabrit, one who gives protection to all living entities. Krishna is Bhutabrit. We are not Bhutabrit. One should discharge his duties only, for no one but the Supreme Lord can give protection to anyone else. This is explained more clearly in the if you're in a position of protector, then do your duty. If you're a mother, then protect your child, care for them properly. If your husband, take care of your wife. If your teacher, take care of your students. If your king, take care of your subjects. But you're only an instrument. You're not the protector. Krishna is the protector. Daivine Trena. Even the best care, medical care, then the patient survives. He dies. And even no care, the patient survives.
Kala karma gunadino deho yam pancha bhautika katamanyam stagopayet sarpa grasto yataparam.
This gross material body made of five elements is already under the control of eternal time, kala, action, karma, and the modes of material nature, guna. How then can it, being already in the jaws of the serpent, protect others? How can a drowning man save another drowning man? You yourself are not the controller and protector. How are you going to protect others, Yudhisthira? You yourself are under, you are thinking how they will be protected, but they are already, they are not protected by you. They are under the jaws of the serpent, Kala. What does the Prabhupada said? Lethal bite of time. Most persons above the modes of nature, eternal time, which is called Kala, because it changes the shape of everything in the material world. We're attached. We form certain things around us to give us comforts. And Kala, or time, changes its shape. We see that often in India. A man, you know, in India, they're very strict, they're celibate, and then they get married. And the woman wants to get married to the man, and she's very beautiful and from a high-class family. And then as soon as they get married, then the woman becomes 300 pounds. The shape changes. And then you see the man on a rickshaw, some skinny little Marwari, taking one quarter of the rickshaw with this huge wife. Kala changes the shape. Makes things old, takes them away, gives things. So this is a conditioned living being, Prabhupada says, under the full control of material nature, represented by eternal time and activities under the dictation of different modes of nature. You want protection, but your body and all other bodies are under the serpent of time. So Prabhupada says that the real thing is to get free from that serpent of time. Anyway, so you can see the train of thought. The purport can be read further. James, any comments on this? Anything you've read in the purport that you find interesting?
Astani sahastanam apadani chatushpadam phalguni tatra mahatam jivo jivasya jivanam.
Those who are devoid of hands are prey for those who have hands. Those who are devoid of legs are prey for the four-legged. The weak are the sustenance of the strong, and the general rule holds that one living being is food for another. So again, this is describing Kala. Everything, in both ways, everything, This is a systematic law of sustenance, and the struggle for existence is there by the supreme will, and there is no escape for anyone by any amount of planning. You're trying to maintain or protect, but you cannot protect. You cannot you see, this is a good example also, because you can't protect. Someone can eat you. Someone can devour you. Someone can mistreat you by kala. This is the law. Look how everything is running. One animal is there, and he's made food for another animal. And at the same time, you can't be the protector, because Krishna's already organized the system for protection. One, you know, I think Prabhupada said, Maharaj Yudhisthira is advised by Narada not to worry about his uncle suffering for want of food, for they can live on vegetables available in the jungle as prasad of the Supreme Lord, and thus realize the path of salvation. The living being is the source of sustenance for another, stronger living beings. No one should be anxious for his sustenance in any circumstance, because there are living beings everywhere, and no living being starves for want of food at any place. The whole system is set up that Krishna is the protector. He's nourishing. So someone should look to Krishna as his protector, and no one should think that he's the protector of others. It's all going on by the laws of nature, Krishna's arrangement. More, the living beings who have come to the material world against the will of the Supreme Being are under the control of a supreme power called Maya Shakti, the deputed agent of the Lord, and this Daiva Maya is meant to pinch the conscious souls by threefold miseries, one of which is explained here in this verse: the weak are the sustenance of the strong. Isn't the Krishna's arrangement to purify us? What does he say? To pinch the conditioned souls, so he doesn't become comfortable in an illusory inferior position. One time I had this one teacher, and this one teacher went to this yoga ashram, and he left the school to, you know, do some kind of meditation and go to the Himalayas and reach perfection. And he showed me books of this, and then when I was away, he just did this, and he wrote me a thing, and I said, great. I hope you fail miserably. Because it wasn't a good situation for him. So I was rooting for the pinches. Because even if the situation was perfected, it would not be satisfying. And then sure enough, it didn't work out, and he came back and he was happy. So like this, Krishna doesn't want us to perfect ourselves in the material world. I am the king. I am happy. I am satisfied. Because you can't be on the material platform. How can you be satisfied on a platform which is not real? Prabhupada gave the example like someone watching a movie and he's seeing, oh, there's the hero. And then he identifies and he feels, but it's only low-class people. You should have real, you should become the hero. You should get the girl, not just watch it in the movies. It's not the real platform. Therefore, if a person gets absorbed in that, he should not be comfortable in that situation. So you can go to real life, which is devotional service. So, Prabhupada's explaining here. How will they get fit? Krishna's the sustainer. Basically, it's saying if Krishna wants to protect you, no one can save you. If Krishna wants to save you, no one can kill you. Taridam Bhagavan Rajam Eka Atmatmanam Swadrik Antaro Nantaro Bhuti Pashyatam Mayayo Rudha. Therefore, here's the conclusion. You should look to the Supreme Lord only, who is one without a second and who manifests himself by different energies and is both within and without. As Krishna is the controller, we should not be engaged in acting for our happiness and distress, sustenance, protection, etc. We should turn to Krishna and see what is our duty for him. This is the conclusion. Yudhisthira, a very difficult situation for you. Your aunt and your uncle have left. Stop thinking in terms of illusion that you're the protector and controller. See what is your duty. Is it your duty now to protect them? Don't act that way. Just look to Krishna and see what your service is. And Prabhupada explains this. One should look unto the Lord. One should not be disturbed by the so-called manifestations of happiness and distress. But he should try to cooperate with the Lord in his outward activities for correcting the fallen souls. Basically, Prabhupada always has that preaching vision. The Supreme Person, Yudhisthira Maharaj, is advised by Narada, therefore, not to be disturbed by the affairs of so-called happiness and distress, but look unto the Lord to execute the mission for the Lord has descended. That was his prime duty. Look what your mission is, what your service is for Krishna. That's the purpose of the material world. Don't look for your happiness and distress. Looking, calculating happiness and distress is looking, is in the consciousness that I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. That's the consciousness that puts one in the bodily concept of life. That's the concept that causes distress and lamentation. Don't look in that way. Look for Krishna. What is my mission? What is my service? Of course, Prabhupada brings it to preaching. Because Krishna has come here to enlighten the conditioned soul, so our mission is to be connected with that. First duty is to save yourself. So look to your, what is your duty, Yudhisthira? Don't get absorbed in this illusory concept that I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the protector, I'm the maintainer. Look to Krishna and see what your duty is here. Soyamaja Maharaja Bhagavan Bhutta Bhavana Kala Rupa Vatirno Syam Abhavaya Saram Dusham. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, in the guise of all-devouring time, Kala Rupa, has now descended on the earth to eliminate the envious from the world. So not only is Krishna Kala Rupa, not as the Supreme Lord only Kala Rupa, that he's manifest everywhere, but we should also see his form as Krishna who descended on the world, which we can exchange with and have blissful living, loving relationships with. Not just that he's the Kala Rupa, that he's time. So this discusses Krishna's appearance. And the next verse, because he wants a hint on Krishna's disappearance. They all know, but they don't want to spread the bad news because it's not cultured, it's not proper. So they know he's already left, just like Vidura never said anything. So now he's hinting because his instructions will also inspire Yudhisthira to leave. So now he's going to get a personal sign. Krishna has descended. So he's hinting. Now in the next verse he'll say, Nishpaditam deva krityam avasesham patikshate Tavadyu yama vekshatvam bhavedyavad iheshvara. The Lord has already performed his duties to help the demigods, and he is awaiting the rest. You Pandavas may wait as long as the Lord is here on earth. So he's hinting that Krishna has left the planet. The Lord has already performed his duties. He's already performed his duties. He's come for his purpose. The purpose is finished. He's going to leave. Now you should wait as long as the Lord is here on the earth. So he's preparing him for that. They'll find out that Krishna has left very, very soon. So he's giving them a hint what his mission is, what your duty is. It's not to stay here. I'm the protector. I'm the controller. Just like Dhritarashtra, you should also leave. Because your purpose and your duties are also finished here, and you should return to the spiritual abode. Narada, like Vidura, did not disclose the imminent annihilation of the Adu dynasty, but indirectly gave a hint to the king and his brothers to wait till the incident happened and the Lord departed. Dhritarashtra saha bratra gandharya cha svabharya dakshinena himatvata rishinam asramagata. just so we can make sure we can finish everything on the tape, I'm just going to read the English. O king, your uncle Dhritarashtra, he's finished the philosophy and now he can tell him the facts. His brother Vidura and his wife Gandhari have gone to the southern side of the Himalaya Mountains, where there are shelters of the great sages. Purport, to pacify the mourning Maharaj Yudhisthira, Narada first of all spoke from the philosophical point of view, and then he began to describe the future movements of his uncle, which he could see by his foreseeing power, and thus began to describe as follows. The place is called Saptarota, divided by seven, because there the waters of the sacred Ganges were divided into seven branches. This was done for the satisfaction of the seven great rishis. On the bank of Saptarota, Dhritarashtra is now engaged in beginning Astanga Yoga by bathing three times daily in the morning, noon, and evening, by performing the Agnihotra sacrifice with fire, and by drinking only water. This helps one control the mind and the senses and frees one completely from thoughts of familiar affection. So this is, he was Dhira, he was in Narottama, so he did the mechanical process of Astanga Yoga to purify the body. So this verse is Yam and Niyam. These are the rules and regulations. He bathed and he controlled his mind and he didn't eat and he did this and he did that, pacified the senses for the purpose of performing yoga. One who has controlled the sitting postures, the yogic asanas, and the breathing processes can turn the senses towards the absolute personality of Godhead and thus become immune to the contaminations of the modes of material nature, namely mundane, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So then after Niyam, Yam is what? Yoga asanas. And then what comes after? The breathing process, pranayam. Just like we can meditate better when we're fasting, we haven't overeaten, our mind is calm, we can meditate, so it's very subtle. And then pratyahara, he turned the senses inward towards the personality of Godhead and shut out all external agitation. It's a very powerful yogi can do that. He stops taking impulse from the outside. Dhritarashtra will have to amalgamate his pure identity with intelligence, and then merge into the Supreme Being with knowledge of his qualitative oneness as a living entity with the Supreme Brahman. Being freed from the block sky, he will have to rise to the spiritual sky. So the process of Astanga Yoga is reversing the process of entanglement. How that you got entangled in the world, it's mechanically reversed. So this describes the samadhi state. With samadhi means that he explains that this describes freeing the subtle body from the gross body and how it's done. He will have to suspend all activities of the senses, even from the outside, and will have to be impervious to the interactions of the senses, which are influenced by the modes of material nature. After renouncing all material duties, he must become immovably established beyond all hindrances on the path. So his meditation will have to be so deep that all his material desires will be finished regardless of what happens to him. In other words, he's immovable. This is beyond the modes of nature. Despite what is transforming, he becomes undisturbed. We have to come to this point. No matter what transforms before us, we have to remain calm. He was so deep in meditation that he achieved this. O king, he will quit his body most probably on the fifth day from today, and his body will turn to ashes. So Narada is saying, Yudhisthira, you want to bring him back? Narada is saying, this is why there is no use for bringing him back. He's already determined. While outside observing her husband, who will burn in the fire of mystic power, along with his thatched cottage, his chaste wife will enter the fire with rapt attention. Your aunt, there's no use in bringing her back. Prabhupada said this prophecy of Narada Muni to Yudhisthira forbade him to go to his widowed aunt. Vidura, being affected with delight and grief, will then leave that sacred place of pilgrimage. No use in bringing Vidura back either. And so nice, delight and grief. Delight, because he had the philosophy, he knew he achieved perfection. Sentiment, So even though he preached, he still had sentiment. He still had some attachment. He still had some feeling. Vidura was certainly very mortified by the death of his brother and sister-in-law, and the only remedy to mitigate such lamentation was to go on to pilgrimage. Thus, Maharaj Yudhisthira had no chance to call back Vidura, his surviving uncle. Having spoken thus, the great sage Narada, along with his Vina, ascended into outer space. Yudhisthira kept his instruction in his heart, and so was able to get rid of all lamentations. So we have a few more minutes. Are there any questions on this, James?